Hey everyone. All right. Jim's already laughing at me. That's painful. That's cool. Okay. Are we good? Yeah. Hey everybody, I'm Tanner. I spoke at Robson Park this morning, but it was less scary because you don't have to see them the week after. So you can kind of bomb and that's okay. For those of you guys who don't know me, I've been around Southside for a couple years, but I'm originally from Northern Alberta. So today is an awesome day for me. I just grew up with like blazing sun in winter and 2 feet of snow, and school would get canceled when it was minus 40. And that was the best. Minus 39, you were going to school. But minus 40 was the best. You could have a snow day. So waking up this morning, and I was going to like start the sermon by complaining about rain and your miserable province. And I woke up this morning, I was like, oh, it's awesome. It's like Alberta out here. It's so great. You guys get a slice of God's country today. That's awesome. But so I'm driving and I'm looking at the mountains, and I've got the window down this morning, and I'm like freezing. I love it. And I walked into Robson Park, and I walk in, and I see Kaylee, and I can see her breath. And I'm like, yeah, this is going to be a good morning. Oh, it was awesome. I don't know if anyone else liked it, but it was cold. So I grew up in a church that didn't really do Advent. We did the candles. That was it. And I had no idea what Advent meant. The candles were kind of for the good families in the church, like the wholesome looking ones. They got to light the candle. So like I didn't get to do that. So like Advent was always kind of separate from me. And I never thought about it. I've been thinking a lot about it this year. What does this season mean? Why is it countercultural? What does it represent? And one thing I've been thinking is, I find it so fascinating. Advent is the start of the Christian calendar, the liturgical calendar, if you didn't know that. This is our New Year's, was last week, and we're 2 weeks in now. And I find that so fascinating, and I haven't thought about it before. We don't start our calendar with Christmas. Like, it seems like it makes so much sense to start with, like, the big celebration that Jesus came to earth, and then we kind of progress through his life. But we start 4 weeks before Christmas. We actually start with the absence of Jesus. That's strange. And we do that for a 12th of the year. It's amazing. So I don't know who it is that started that all those years ago and said, we're going to start with Advent. They're either incredibly wise, and I don't understand them, or they have a sick sense of humor. I'm not sure which one. But we start with the absence, and we look forward with joyful expectation to his presence. That's what Advent is. It's those two things. And so as we jump into our reading, I kind of want to frame my thought this morning just around, we need to sit in the absence of Jesus and what that's like so that we can become excited for Christmas, so that Christmas means something, so that the coming of the Christ child among us sparks something new. You need both. So we're in John. If you guys don't know, we're doing John is our nativity story this year. If you want to open to John 1, you can. I'm going to read the nativity story in John. Matthew and Luke are much more traditional. They're what you're used to, shepherds, wise men, stable, maybe no stable, who knows. But John is different, and it is a nativity story. Trust me, it just doesn't seem like it. John's very like cosmic. He's very big thoughts, big ideas, and kind of like makes you go like, oh, like, you pretend like you know what he's talking about, but you don't know what he's talking about. That's the nativity story this year. It's like, I just want to see a kid's nativity play based on John 1. You know, like, no angels, no, just like kids wandering around and like confused. Maybe like the cutest thing ever. It's always the cutest thing ever. But we don't do John 1. So let's read it together. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself is not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. That's our nativity reading. That every week we're kind of chewing through, trying to get something. This week is he came to bring us life. So we're kind of focusing on verse 4, where it says, in him was life, and the life was the light of all mankind. And when we think of life, think vitality, you think wholeness, everything that Jesus is. But if it's a true Advent Sunday, we need to start with the absence of Jesus. And so this week I've been reflecting on, what does it look like when I'm lifeless? And that's easy for me because I'm a student and this is the worst part of the year. So like, it's not hard, it's not a stretch for me to think about this. When I am lifeless, I wake up in the morning, you know, 7, 8 a.m., I study. I go to Regent and I study. And then I come home and I study. And then at 2 a.m., I go to sleep. And then I wake up the next morning and I study. And that's my life. It's a cycle, it's a loop, and it's all about me. It's all about my goals. It's a closed system that I don't think attracts anybody. I don't think anybody would look at my life and go, oh wow, that's something. In him is life. No, like it's just living, if you know what I mean. I look at my own life and I rush from one thing to the next. There's no margin in my life. I have to schedule in my neighbors if I talk to them. There's no encounters in the hall or moments where I take time for people. I'm just rushing. It's a constant frenetic pace. And when I look at my life, I see a distance from God, but not the absence of God. Not like the dark night of the soul or depression or God, where are you? I've experienced that, and that's not what it is. It's that I'm indifferent to God. I'm lifeless because I go through days. I go to seminary. I'm supposed to be learning all about God, and it'll take me 2 days before I realize I haven't thought about God at all. I have no interest in him. And that's lifeless living. That's how I feel with the absence of Jesus. And I find myself restless and anxious, very stressed. And I know I shouldn't, but I'm constantly have that anxiety, and it infects everybody around me. And that's the hardest part. I can see my anxiety infect my wife, infect my mission group, infect my neighbors, my fellow students. And I'm not a bringer of life to them. I'm a bringer of anxiety. I'm a bringer of stress everywhere I go. That's life without Jesus for me. That's what it looks like. But Once you've seen the absence of Jesus, we look forward to something. That's what Advent is. And we look forward in the text, verse 4, John says, in him, in Jesus, was life. And that life was the light of all mankind. In him was life. And John doesn't just leave it there. That's like the big view. They go, oh, life. Oh, yes, yes. But you don't know what that means. John spends the rest of the book unpacking what that means. What does it mean that Jesus had life in him? And so when you look at Jesus, instead of that cycle of just living, Jesus attracted people. People saw something constantly. People were haunted by their moments with Jesus. People would go to Jesus and they'd say, where are you staying? And he would say, come and see. Come, look at my life. See how it's different. And there's like a crackle, there's a spark there that you see in Jesus' life. And instead of rushing, instead of frantic busyness like me, Jesus has this pace we don't recognize in North America. He's slow, he walks places, and he meets people that are not part of his plan, and he has a conversation with them. And those conversations become the most important thing for that person they've ever experienced. But it comes because Jesus walks slowly through life. He has margin for other people. That's what life looks like. And instead of the distance from God or the indifference to God that I see, when you look at Jesus, there's that close connection. I've been thinking all semester. I've had to do an assignment, big long assignment, on Jesus' baptism, where Jesus goes under the water, comes up, the heavens open, and there's a voice, and it says, you are my son in whom I'm well pleased. And I've been thinking a lot about that. It's so beautiful because the voice is for everybody. Everybody hears it, but the voice is only for Jesus in a way. It's not, this is my son, everybody. It's Jesus, you are my son, in whom I'm well pleased. And when you hear that, it makes you go, I want that intimacy. I want that kind of relationship with God. Why do I feel indifferent to him when I see that? That's life. And instead of my anxiety that infects everybody around me, when I look at Jesus, he's got an unshakable calm about him. He infects people with peace. So half of John is spent with the Last Supper. Jesus in the upper room talking with his disciples. And he can tell they're on edge, but he's hours away from his own arrest and crucifixion. And what is Jesus doing? He's comforting them. He says, in my house, there's many rooms, and I go to prepare a place for you. And he's thinking about everybody but himself. That calm, that center that Jesus has, it just infects everybody around him. Everybody feels calm around Jesus. I love that. That's what life looks like. So when I look at the absence of Jesus, and then I look at what Jesus is, that life, in him was life. I don't know what I do. I look at the invitation of Jesus. Jesus isn't just life. He doesn't just show life. He actually says you can have that too, that we can experience that among us today. And the study guide's been really good about this. If you've been in it, there's a few key passages it mentions. So John 4, the woman at the well, Jesus says, whoever drinks the water I give them will never thirst. Indeed, the water I give them will become in them a spring of water, welling up to eternal life. Jesus is going to put something in us that's it's going to just gush out life all around us. And then John 10 says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. Jesus promises abundant life. And then John 11, when Lazarus dies, Jesus says, I am the resurrection and the life. I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. It's a beautiful promise. So that's what we look forward to this Advent. And I don't want you to walk away from here going, my life has no Jesus, the absence, and Jesus is really good, and so I should have the life that Jesus has. Stupid Tanner. Come on. Live the Jesus life. That's not what I want you to walk away with. I want you to walk away with the knowledge that the Christmas story, the thing we're celebrating, that we're getting excited for, is that we were living a lifeless existence, and God planted himself right in the middle of us, and he changed everything. That God actually has life for you, whether you expect it or not. That we can look forward to the fact that it's coming. It's coming whether we like it or not. Jesus has life for you. And that's good news. You don't have to walk away from today one inch shorter feeling like, I'm just lifeless. Because it's not about you. It's about Jesus. It's about the Christ child who came. And he comes every year. That's what Advent is. We look forward to that. So we're going to take communion. My favorite thing to do. I grew up Brethren, so this is the best. I love it. Craig's another Brethren. He loves it. When we take communion, I just want us to think about Jesus saying, I am the bread of life. Because he also says that, I'm the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never go hungry. So come to the table, take the bread, take the wine, not as a promise to God that you're going to live the Jesus life, that I'm going to stop being anxious, God. I'm going to be calm. I'm going to stop being God. I'm going to have that pace. That is not what you come to the table with. You come to the table and say, I joyfully expect the life of Jesus that's coming to me. I joyfully expect Christmas. And wait for that life to well up in you, because God promises that it will. Prepare him room. He's coming. He's coming into your life to give you life. Can I pray for communion? Jesus, when I feel sapped, when I feel drained, when I feel like nobody would want the kind of life I'm living right now, it's not life. God, I look to you and I see something different coming into the world. A spark, a light, something new, God. And so I ask that this Christmas season, this Advent season, and I ask that you come once again to me, that in my life, the Christ child is born again. And God, transform us with that. Give us your life. In Jesus' name, amen.